Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and for 30 years, I have been both the CEO of Technology Partners and the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Before we get started, I'm excited to share that my book, Something Extra, launches on September 30th, and you can pre-order it today. It is rooted in the remarkable spirit of our daughter, Allie, and the heartfelt conversations we've had on the podcast. You'll find wisdom and practical tools to ignite the leader within you and uncover your own Something Extra. Visit somethingextrabook.com to order your copy today. It's my pleasure to welcome Chris Moore on the show today. Chris is the Vice President of Information Technology at United Sugar Producers and Refiners Cooperative. Well, Chris Moore, welcome to the Something Extra podcast.
Thank you. It's great to see you again.
It's so good to see you too. I am so excited that we were able to make this work today. You and I always like to tell our listeners kind of how I meet my guys, but you and I know each other from your days at Bayer. And Technology Partners has been, in Monsanto. Exactly. Long time. Yeah. I think we've been in, you know, Technology Partners, we've been in business for 31 years, and I think we've done business with Monsanto for maybe 28 of that, of those 31 years. So
it's been a long run,
and we are just so appreciative of our partnership, and we've seen a lot of change, haven't we, Chris?
Just a bit.
Just a little bit of change. I've got pages and pages. Don't let that scare you. I've got pages and pages and pages of questions for you. But I do want to start before we kind of start talking about career and all the wonderful things that you've been doing in technology. I'd love to talk about just growing up. Where did you grow up?
Tell me.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I'm a St. Louis boy. So I grew up in St. Louis. So, you know, I was born up in the Quad Cities in Iowa. My parents were up there, but they moved back home to St. Louis. My mom and her family are from St. Louis. I'm into history, so I find it interesting. On my mom's side, I mean, it goes back to German immigrants, like in the early 1800s. So we still have a family plot at one of the old cemeteries in St. Louis, and you can, you know, kind of trace back the different ancestors that came through. But we moved back here when I was 3, so grew up in St. Louis in Crestwood, Missouri, so in South County. You know, this is a St. Louis show, so Lindbergh High School grad, and then went to school at Rolla. Now it's called University of Missouri Science and Technology, and MBA at UMSL, and started consulting in St. Louis, so I'm a St. Louis guy.
It's a great city, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, I love St. Louis.
Yep, we do too. We're not from St. Louis. Greg and I both grew up in Kentucky, but upon graduation, we were recruited by McDonnell Douglas, and that's what moved us here. And I will be honest with you, when we got here, we're like, we may be here for 3 years. move somewhere else.
And
we never moved.
Did you find it hard? Kind of acclimating it for a lot of people do. It's kind of a, you know, a lot of people are from here. They've got roots, they've got their friends. So sometimes it's hard for people to kind of get started here.
I have heard that from other people. I don't know. Greg and I were just, I guess, so blessed. And when we started at McDonnell Douglas, and then I was in my master's at SLU, he was in his master's at WashU. So we had that. And then we were very involved in our church. So we had a community there. And then with our McDonnell Douglas family, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we found it very welcoming, and We love, you know, it's got everything. It truly, yeah. it has yeah. everything. It's got sports. It's got culture.
It does. Yeah. Bit of everything. Great. Good outdoor stuff. Yeah. All kind of, just gets a little hot in the summer, but you know, but
it
you're from
does
Kentucky.
Get a, so yes, I know. It gets hot in Kentucky too. Right. So, well, why don't you like, okay. So like you've been a technologist, we're going to talk a lot about that, but was there somebody in your early years, Chris, I mean, where did that passion, where did that love come from? And I would love to hear, maybe it was a teacher in school. I mean, what was that precipice for you to say, huh, I think I want a career in technology?
In IT? Yeah, you know, well, it was a couple people, I would say. So so I'm a mechanical engineer by training. So that's what I went to Rolla for. And, you know, in my classes, I guess I always had an affinity for more of the automation programming side. So we did Fortran as mechanical engineers. I think they still do some of that, you know, today. But, you know, I had an affinity for that. And then my first internship was with factory automation. So doing PLC programming, HMI program. And I just really liked it. You know, it was just something that you could do something and see the results right away. You know, I would say probably the reason why I landed in IT as a career would be my wife, to be honest with you. So, we started dating in college at Rolla, and, we wanted to be together, you know, after that. And she was, one of her dreams was to work for Accenture. So she was in engineering management. She wanted to be in the consulting lifestyle. So I said, sure, I'll interview with them as well. And, you know, it just kind of clicked as I talked with them. I just fell in love with the idea of, you know, traveling places, you know, again, seeing those results. You design something, you put it in place, you get to see it right away. And that's where that's how it happened. So that's how we got our start. And that's the reason why I'm in IT.
I love that. Well, and it's a great place to start. Oh my goodness. Some of the best leaders I know, seriously, Chris, started like the Accentures of the world. Like, I think, and I tell young people, it's just like with accounting. Now, I was an accounting major and I did corporate accounting for Vidal Douglas. But I said, if you really are wanting to go that track, there's nothing like working for an EY or a Deloitte, or, you know, really, because you get to see across many different sectors and industries, right? Yeah, you get to see lots of different leadership styles, lots of different challenges, right? Because every client has different challenges.
And I would say the other thing, you learn a methodology, you know, that like you learn how to, I mean, you know, it's, we would always joke, it's almost like brainwashing in a sense, you know, with Accenture. It was 4 weeks in the office where everybody learned, you know, basic, at the time it was C programming. But then you go, Accenture had a college campus up in St. Charles, Illinois, just outside Chicago. And, you were kind of indoctrinated, you know, they brought, you know, new recruits from all over the world, and you learned their methodology, how to go about it, kind of the culture, lifestyle. And, yeah, it's just served me well. It just, you know, just kind of early on, just kind of teaches you how to engage in a project, drive things. And yeah, there's no substitute. I recommend that to people all the time as well, if they want to get into this line of work. It's a great place to start.
I agree. Well, tell me this. Were there some, like early in your career, we're going to get into what you've done, but are there some like people that stood out to you, Chris, like mentors? Because, you know, we talk about mentorship is so important. I always say you need to be mentoring someone and you need to be mentoring somebody and you need to be mentored, because we never reach the summit, right? There's always a next level of leadership. Yeah. Were there some particular people that really stood out to you that were influential in your career?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, quite a few. And the one I was thinking about this, because I know you ask about these questions on this podcast. I have to tell you, you know, honestly, I would say I have learned something from every leader that I've worked for, you know, whether it's something I don't want to do, you know, as a leader, or, but, you know, in many cases, you know, kind of snippets. Everybody's got something to kind of add. But I would say, you know, the big ones, I mean, I start with, you know, Mark Jordan. I think you're,
yes,
know him well. And, I think early on, Mark was a believer in me. He really gave me opportunities. I would say that's something that, really resonates with me with the mentors I've had is, not only did they give you advice and kind of soundbite form so you could remember it and it made sense, it was practical, but they believed in you. They gave you a chance. So, Mark was one of those that early on in my career, really gave me a chance to do more. And clearly believed in me. It was great. I mean, Aldo Noseda is another one. Believed in me, opportunities. Jim, I know you're a friend of Jim Swanson. Jim, the same. I mean, I could go on. But that's what's really resonated, with me, from all the people I've worked with and mentors. But there's a long list, and many of them I still, and still in contact with today for their advice and
And you could pick
guidance.
up the phone, Chris,
Yeah, exactly.
and call any of them, right? And they would be willing to lean in and to speak into whatever challenge you're going through. Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I could name them for you, but it's so important. And I want our listeners just to understand that you never get to the point where you don't need somebody like that in your life. And if you have been mentored and you've got these people that saw something in you and called that out and gave you a chance, we need to be doing the same thing for others.
Absolutely. And I know we've caught up before this, so you kind of know I recently made a change with companies, and that was a big change for me. I mean, I was with Monsanto Bayer for 20 years, and just the idea of looking for something and just kind of regaining that confidence and how to go about it. I mean, it's a real asset to have people that you can, again, you just call them, they pick up the phone, they give you advice. And I remember that's, and even they'll connect you with new people that'll do the same. You just grow the network. But I remember that from the conversations with several people as they talked about how, they just want to give back because people were so gracious with their time and just advice and connections and anything. And yeah, it's something, when you go through some, when you're looking for something that's really new and challenging and you get that, it really hits home that, yeah, you got to do that for other people too. It's
Yeah.
it's needed.
It's a gift. We need one another. That's what I always say. We were never meant to do this life alone.
Exactly.
All right. Well, very good. I love all of that. How would you, so you did, you spent 20 years, 20 years at Monsanto Bayer. You also spent some time in Singapore in Pacific Asia. What, tell me what you did there. What were you sent there to do? And then what did you learn? Because I bet you learned a lot. I bet your perspective broadened a little bit, Chris, doing
Oh my God,
that
yeah. Oh
assignment.
yeah. I it was one of those kind of life-changing moment. You learn so much. I would say first off, just going on assignment, and my family went with me. My kids at the time were 8 and 5, and just going through that together, it just, it's stressful because, new place, you got, everybody's going through a different thing, whether it's new school, new friends, new job, but you work through it together, and it does, it just helps you. I mean, it just grows you as a person. You can handle more, you learn things, and I think we got a lot closer as a family too, going through it. But I was sent over to lead our IT department for Asia Pacific. It kind of started small, not to bore you with the details, but at the time Monsanto had three Asia regions. We had Southeast Asia, which was Singapore, Thailand, Indonesia. We had India and Pakistan was the second, and then China was the third. So I came over to lead the Southeast Asia IT department from Singapore. The previous lead had left. They needed a new leader. Again, people saw something in me and wanted to take a chance. This was Rick Pulowski. I don't know if you know Rick, but he recommended me, and so I went over there, and really my responsibilities grew. So eventually I took over all of Asia, all IT for all the Asia departments. As far as learning, it was really a CIO position, it was a fantastic opportunity because, we relied on the shared services from Monsanto IT, but you were, it was a 14-hour time difference. You were on your own pretty much. And we had a whole host of challenges that were different than what, we were facing in other parts of the world. So it was all in. It was help desk, infrastructure. We implemented CRM systems, ERP. I also had the shared services. We had a follow the sun method on support. So eventually I had oversight of our shared services center in Bangalore. Yeah, I mean, where do I begin? Professionally, it was great because just leadership and development, working with other cultures, I think that was a huge learning for me. And, just, where people are the same and maybe where they think different and, how you understand that and work with that. I think, oh my gosh, new technologies. I would also say, really probably the biggest thing. That's really where I kind of fell in love with what Monsanto did and then Bayer in the ag side, because I had the opportunity to go out in the field and visit with our sales teams and others, really sit in the living rooms of farmers, across Southeast Asia, India, and just see what we do as a company. And and what we did was really, I mean, it was a game changer for them, the quality of seed that they were using to make a living with. And that's I tell people that's probably the biggest thing I took away from it is just how IT really enables supports a business, how much it's needed, and how much fun it can be. If you really get more, I mean, IT is fun, but to me it's more fun to understand what your business is doing and how can you help make them
How can you
successful.
connect it to the vision and the mission, right? And you were able to do
Exactly.
that when you saw the farmers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always I remember just learning, that the mission was to feed the world. And I'm
Yeah.
like, what better mission could you have than that,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's what can get you up out of bed in
Exactly.
the mornings, I think.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. We had one, just to fill you in, one probably the key projects, one of the ones I'm really proud of. We call it well, it's for a smallholder farmer population. We call it FarmRise. It's a solution. It's still in use today by Bayer, but the basic idea was we were offering a pretty high quality seed to farmers, and these are smallholder farmers, so they're farming 2 hectares. It's like two football fields put together. That's it. One of the challenges in that part of the world is maybe they have access to high quality seed, but they don't necessarily have access to the equipment, to cultivate it, optimally. But they also don't have the information to cultivate it optimally. So, one example, one thing is, farmers in that part of the world, just through traditions, they space their rows a certain way. Well, with modern genetics, you might need to increase the rows. You can get or actually, narrow the rows. You can get more output.
yield.
And they don't, they wouldn't know that. They would follow tradition. So one of the things that we launched was FarmRise, and this was an information service where we actually reached out to growers and subscribed them. Ultimately, we reached about 4 million smallholder farmers while I was there, but it reached out and it connected with them at key times in the growing season. It gave them agronomic advice. It was a big win for us because it started to collect more information on our growers, who they were and what they were doing. And it was an avenue for us to market to them, to help them inform them of our products. But it was just a real enriching project. You got out and could see how this would be of value. We delivered it. We got into actual branding of the platform itself. And just a testament to the work that the team did. It's still in use today. It's evolved, but it's still part of the portfolio. So,
How was that delivered to the farmer, Chris? Was that
yeah.
through
Well,
mobile?
yeah. And at this time, mobile was mostly feature phones. So this would have been,
Okay.
2013. So, your Nokias and things like that. Now, one of the issues, this is one of the things with IT. You got to understand your user base. And at that time, and I think it's improving, in the farming population, literacy was low. So a lot of the interaction was actually voice recordings, interactive voice recordings, where people could prompt back and forth to get advice. But we did get into text messages as well, but it was all connected to a content management system that could give the advice and collect some information on people.
That's so awesome. I love that. Well, let me ask you one more question, then we do need to take a quick break and we'll get into
Sure.
some other things here. But I mean, you've led talent, and especially like there, you know, when you were in Singapore, I mean, you had different cultures and things like that. I mean, the thing is with Monsanto Bayer, it is a global organization, right?
Yep.
So you got people from all cultures. How have you really nurtured the talent on your teams, Chris? I mean, what are some of those leadership principles that you've employed to make the team feel engaged and empowered and motivated? Can you speak to that a little bit? I think that'll help our listeners.
You know, I think, you know, the big things, if I could summarize, is you know, one is just keep it focused on the mission, which goes back to what does the company do, what are its objectives, how can we make them successful. And you know, you have to, you know, I strive to bring that to my team so that they see that, they understand it. You create opportunities for them to interact with business people, because you know, no one wants to hear one person talk all the time, right? It can be more impactful to hear it, to see it, you know, take them out and see things. But get them to love the mission. I mean, that's, you know, that's, you know, one of the key things. I would say that, you know, the other things would be just transparency. So, you know, just really being transparent about what's important, constant communication, how are we doing, where do we need to improve? You know, I mean, you need to support people, but don't sugarcoat things either. You know, that's one of the things, as I think, to be an effective leader, you know, really fulfill a mission, you got to set the bar pretty high. You know, so and that's one of the things, you know, as I coach leaders, is you know, don't be afraid to push. I mean, you need to support people, and you need to give them the, you know, the opportunity to try things, the freedom. You know, they're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. But you have to set the bar pretty high of what you're looking for. And you know, if you can do that, tied to a mission, transparent with where you're at, and just keep that spirit. You know, it's a working team. You know, so keep up the camaraderie and make sure everybody knows that it's expected that you know, you're going to collaborate with your teammates, you know, to achieve that result. That, at least from my perspective, has been something that's really helped with the teams and what I strive for.
Right. Well, you've been successful at it. Well, we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Chris Moore on the Something Extra podcast.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Chris Moore. We've been having a fun time talking about technology and team building and high performance teams and global companies, just all kinds of wonderful things. Chris, one thing in technology is that technology is changing at a very rapid pace right now, right? And what, you know, for you, and I'm just gonna, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What are the big emerging technologies that everybody's thinking about right now?
AI, right? I'm sure you hear
Yes.
that a lot, right? That
Yes.
is the buzz. Which, you know, which is great. You know, I was actually listening to some of your podcasts before this. I think your last guest was talking about it as well. And you know, it's one of those things. I mean, that the thing with technology, there's always a hype curve and buzz, you know, so you have to kind of weed through that. But I do think, I can tell you with my current company, you know, we see a lot of potential for it, because one of the things that I find really exciting is you think about a business, you know, or a function within a larger company, and the work that they do, there is still so much manual work that people are doing. And I'm talking, like, you know, manual, like putting information in PowerPoints to share with customers, you know, distributors, Excel analysis, interpreting results. And you look at some of the things that you can do with AI just to knock that out. And some of this is new. Some of it's not. It's kind of the same. It's just an evolution. I remember RPA. We were doing some cool things with that just to help automate tasks. But no, I think the really promising thing is just the intelligence behind it to take that automation to a next level. Because for us, I mean, we're a small company, so I'm the CIO with United Sugar Producers and Refiners, and we have a lean organization, and we need to get the most out of every person. And just the day-to-day tasks take up so much time. I think is the real potential that we see, at least for our company, with that. And of course, you can extend that into insights, pulling together data and the insights that can come from that to actually guide those decisions, guide automations. It's neat to see how it just continues to evolve, over time.
And of course, you have to take measured risk and you have to approach it in the right way, Chris. But would you say to somebody that you got to at least be thinking about it? I mean, it's not going away. I mean, if you're not thinking about it.
If you're not thinking about it, you're not going to be an IT leader for long. I can tell you that. Every business leader that I've been working with, at least lately, it is on their mind. I mean, you can like it or not, but AI is in the buzz sphere. People are thinking about it. Companies are really pointing to it as a way to save costs, to optimize so they can do more things. There was an article, I think, today in the Wall Street Journal about how it's impacting new graduates' career prospects. So it's having an impact. It's there. So you have to be thinking about it. As I was mentioning, as I was making a pivot, into this new role, what I found is I talk with different companies, both from other CIOs, to just learn what they're focused on or what other companies are interested in. I was focused on the mid-market. It really came down to three things. ERP, that's always going to be key. And there's a lot happening with SAP and getting to the latest version and technology. Cybersecurity, which is has evolved and is just as well riskier than ever. And part of that's because of AI that's used for cybersecurity attacks. And AI itself, how can you really harness power of the data that a company has collected over the years, and use that to bring efficiencies, identify opportunities, et cetera. So I think you have to, or you're not going to be an IT leader, for long if you don't have any intention on it.
Very good. Well, you had talked about making the pivot to United Sugars Producers and Refiners Cooperative. For our listeners who don't know, because I know this because you've told me about this and I was just blown away by it, but tell our listeners, who are they and what's the mission and what do you guys do? And people will be surprised at how much they're playing a part probably in what they're
They're
eating every day.
customers. That's right. That's right. So we are a marketing co-op. We're a co-op of co-ops, is what our CEO would say. So we're a marketing co-op that's owned by four agricultural co-ops. And those co-ops have been formed by sugar beet and sugarcane growers in the US. And so they produce the crop. They produce the sugar from that. They mill it, refine it. And then our job is to get it from them and to sell it in the US. And we supply a third of the sugar supply in the US. So a lot of our customers are food companies that use it in their processing. And there's big ones like Pepsi, there's smaller bakeries. It's kind of all in between. We do a lot of private label sugar. So we do private label for Walmart, Target, Aldi's, you name it. We have a few brands. I don't know if you know any. Imperial Sugar is more of a southern brand. American Crystal in more of the north, but that's a smaller part of our business, kind of more legacy. But that's what we do. And so our job is to get it from the factories to distribute it. So a lot of logistics planning and customer relationship management, account planning with our accounts, And then we manage the quality of that as well in case there's any issues with the shipments or whatnot. We manage that for our members and resolve that as quick as we can.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to know more about that, Chris is the CIO. So make sure you reach out to him on LinkedIn. I've got a few more questions for you, sure. And then we're going to talk about something extra. What would you say? I mean, Chris, do you have some habits or some rituals, daily rituals that you go through to help you stay grounded as a leader?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple actually. So, you know, I guess on the day to day, I'll tell you day to day, what really helps me is, I find that, I like to exercise, and that's kind of one of the first things I try to do. It doesn't always happen, but it's one of the first things in the morning because it'll never happen otherwise. Something always, gets in the way. But after that, it's really, get ready for the day, grab breakfast, and then get to work. And one of the things I like to do is just block the first hour of my day for top priority. That's what it is in my calendar. And, that's what I want to get something done, in that first hour while I've got energy, before everything else kind of happens,
Yes.
A lot. But the other thing I do that really helps me a lot is, once a week, and usually it's Sundays, I just like to take the time to just kind of reflect on how the week has gone. Think about the positive things. That's really important, both professionally and in person. It's so easy to get hung up on, oh, I could have done this better. This didn't go the way I wanted to. But, yes. Just really think about kind of the small wins, for the week. Just jot it down. And I just find that really, really helps me. And then I launch right from that into it gives me the energy to say, okay, what's this next week looking like? Let's plan it out. And I'm a big planner. Usually I use my calendar as my to-do list. So everything I plan out, I've got a slot for, try to get a slot for during the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you this. So I know you do that in your business. Are you that way? Are you that intentional with your family?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's different, right? I don't really run the family, right? I'm a big part of the family, but it's different. I'm guiding a team here. I would say in the family, it's more about, I'm supporting them, we're part of the family, with my kids, for example, and my kids are older now. So I've got a 21-year-old that is a senior in college. She's looking at law school next. And then my son is a senior in high school. He's looking at college next. And, it's pretty cool because they've gotten to the point where they have an idea of kind of what they want to do, at least, what next. And, they seem pretty driven about it. They're taking initiative. It's more about kind of, hey, let's, kind of nudge them, get ideas in their heads, all with the idea of, they're in control. And,
yes.
I guess, it's not that different, in, in the professional world, right? I mean, when you have a team, it's, a lot of nudging, you get the ideas in their head, kind of guide. I mean, that's, someone's really invested in it. It's, that's always the best. But it's just a little bit different, in the professional
person. Of course.
A lot of similarities, yeah. But
yes, of course, of course. Tell me this: is there in it may be that your exercise? I mean, what we see a lot, Chris, is like burnout with leaders, because they're just giving so much. Is there anything that you do, or is it the exercise that really helps you stay focused and energized? Or maybe it's taking, and I love what you said, that you take Sundays to reflect. And sometimes I feel like that, because I'm a big person that says you got to have that introspection time. You got to have a meeting with yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think regular meetings with yourself are really healthy.
I mean, that's helped me. I still do it. I started doing that. I mean, in our careers, we have challenging times, whether it's, a work relationship or, something's going on with the company or a project or whatnot. I started doing that then, and it's something I've kind of evolved. It's helped me a lot. But I'll tell you probably, the biggest thing to keep me grounded is, and it's tough because life gets busy, but, spend time doing what you love to do. You know, I mean, that's, you know, for me, you know, I love being with my family. You know, we like to travel. Mm-hmm. You know, I love being outside. So I like to go fishing, you know, pick up the bike, go for a ride, but, you know, play with the dogs, whatever it is, but just do something that you like to do. Cause that, you know, and I forget, this is a mentor at some point, and I can't remember who told me this, cause I just work with so many people that I just, you know, really took a lot of what they said, but it, you know, you gotta have something else you can rely, you know, it's not all about work. I mean, you gotta have mm-hmm. something you can go to give you some peace or just a break to put things in perspective.
I agree. Sometimes I say, you know, just get a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Like you said, get out in nature. I mean, it really, anything to kind of shift your perspective a little bit, you know, is really healthy, I think. So.
Yeah. I think that's right. I, you know, and there's probably, I've read some books on this with psychology perspective. It's that, you know, there's a lot of advice on just engage the senses, you know, can help a lot. Cause it just, you know, it gets out of you're in your head, you know, thinking about a problem mm-hmm. or, you know, a situation, anything that can get you outside of that just gives you the space. And then you come back, you might have a new idea that can help you out. You know,
I love that. I love that. Well, this is called Something Extra.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, what do you believe, Chris, is the something extra that every leader needs?
Ooh, something extra that every leader needs. I would say they've got to know what the mission is. I just think that's so important. I think as a leader, and I, you know, not just an IT leader, but a leader in general, you're there to provide value, you know, and you can't do that if you don't know what the mission is. And you got to align to it too. You know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. You should look for another, mm-hmm. another place. But you gotta know and you gotta believe in the mission. And if you can do that and really focus on it, I think everything else just kind of falls into place.
Falls into place. You got passion.
Yeah.
The energy's there.
It clarifies things. Helps you prioritize.
Clarify.
Things.
Oh, helps you know easier. To know what to say no to.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. I love it. Well, Chris, thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, always great talking with you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
You too.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.